How's it going, everybody?
My name is Koa, and I have the pleasure of being your guys' host today. On top of that, I have my co-host here, which happens to be my gorgeous wife. Her name is Haley. She's just sitting here chilling. She won't be answering or talking with me today, which is all right. So I wanted to talk to you guys about being truthful and honest, but not in a blunt or in a mean way. The reason why I wanted to talk to you guys about this is because this is something that I struggle with way too often. And it's something that I know that we can all work on. Whether you're married, not married, man or woman, we can all work on it. So a little bit about me and my co-host. So we've been together for 3.5 years. Four. And we have been married since October. So 7, 8 months? 8 months now. And on top of that, 5 months ago, 4 months ago, 3 months ago, yeah, like 3-4 months ago, we found out that we are having a daughter. Our very first child. It is a stressful time, but it has been a blessing. 3.5 years ago, well, actually, yeah, like 4, when my wife and I started talking, she threw out an ultimatum. She said, "Koa, I'm not going to date you unless you go to church." And that was actually like the first Sunday we hung out, was going to church together. And I said, "All right, I'll give this a try." Now, I didn't come from a church family. I went a couple times growing up, but my parents never forced me to go. And I came from a very dysfunctional, broken family with divorced parents with 2 different parenting styles. So you can kind of see that the love that was portrayed when I was younger made me look at it and be like, well, I don't want that kind of love. And I believe that that's the kind of love that we would see in church. So it made me have this really bad image and sour taste of what love looked like. And I struggled with it. I come from 2 parents who are very blunt and honest when it came to us. Now, some of that might be a little bit of verbal abuse, emotional abuse, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, I still didn't know how to love. And that went over into my marriage. So I struggle with this. And I wanted to talk about it because, like I said, we can all know how to be better at it. But 2, to hold myself accountable. I think that as Christians, we get so caught up and fixated on this state that, oh, they're criticizing me because I'm a Christian. Oh, they're criticizing me because I'm different from them. Now, that may be the case. But in the Bible, it does say that we are supposed to hold each other accountable. And I'm not sitting here and say, go judge your neighbor. I'm not sitting here and say, go and make fun of that person. Or when you go and speak to that person and you're confronting them on what they're doing is wrong, right? The Bible says, do not look at the other person's log in their eye when you have a speck in yours. Or I think it's the opposite way. Yeah. Opposite way. Sorry, guys. It says, do not comment on the person who has a speck in their eye, but a log in your own. Now, that is such a crucial piece in what it actually looks like on what accountability is in a Christian relationship, whether that's through your marriage, your girlfriend, boyfriend, your friend, your parents, anything like that, right? We are to not judge each other, but hold each other accountable. So that's what we're doing here. We're going to hold each other accountable, even me. And like I said, I've struggled with this. I have struggled with this since I was young. Okay. When I was young, I used to run away from my feelings. And one day when I got super pissed off and all I could see was red, I would just blow up on anybody. I didn't care who was in my way. I didn't care who it was. I didn't care if it was my sister, my brother, my parents. I didn't care. I just would go off like no tomorrow, and every single thing that I ever felt would just get pushed onto this person. That is not good. I admit it. I'm not the best at it, but we can talk about that another day, because that's something I still struggle with. But at the end of the day, I'm a human being just as much as I am a follower of Christ. And as the Bible says, we all fall short of God's glory. So let's get into the main topic here. How can we be honest, but in a loving way? If we look at 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient and it is kind. It does not boast. It does not envy. It is not proud. It doesn't say that love is being mean. It doesn't say that love is being truthful and you can bash on this person. It doesn't say that love is hurtful, because it's not. If we look at what love is, God is the perfect representation of love. Okay. So if we look at that and we look at what that means for our partner in terms of telling them the truth, we can tell them the truth in a different tone than how we want to talk about it. So the one piece of advice that I'm going to start this with is to pray about it. If we pray about it and we come before God and say, God, this is what I'm struggling with. I know me and my wife, we don't necessarily get along on this topic, but I want you to guide that. And I want you to guide this conversation. And I pray that in the midst of me talking, I don't be honest with a blunt way of talking. So there's different ways that we can talk and communicate to our spouse. And guys, I'm new to this, right? There are some people who have way more years than I do. And there are some people who are less in months than I have. And that's all right. But we're all here on the same walk, all dealing with the same things. And that's marriage. Marriage is hard. It's gonna be a time in your life where sometimes you're ready to throw in that flag. I'm gonna be honest. You know, there are some people out there who are just like, they are good in their marriage and they have it all figured out. And there are some marriages out there that just don't struggle like some of us do. And that's all right. But we don't envy them. Okay, we don't say, oh, I wish I was in your spot. I wish I was in your relationship. No, because, you know, this is the trials that we have to go through. This is the perseverance that we have to endure. And that's all right, because it's all part of God's plan. And it's all part of what he predestined for us in the very beginning. And that was to endure certain type of things like this. So being truthful and honest, but in a nice and kind way, starts with prayer. The next thing that I believe it should start with is your tone of voice. If you're coming into your conversation with your wife and you're like, or your husband, and you're like, oh, I just hate the way that you do this, and I hate the way that you do that, and I can't stand that you do this, and I point, 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 point my finger at you, your partner is going to be like, whoa, now I'm pissed off because you shouldn't have come at me like that. So in a way, let's say that my wife and I, we strongly disagreed with each other on the amount of energy drinks that I drink. So, if you guys don't know me, which you guys don't, I'm a heavy Red Bull drinker. I love my Red Bulls. And I'm coming to you because this is something that we have dealt with. I'm not going to sit here and give you guys, you know, false conversations that me and my wife have had, because I don't want to lie to you guys. I want to be honest with you guys and actually tell you guys things that we have actually struggled with, to give you guys a peace of mind, to one, know that I'm being truthful and honest, but two, to get an insight on what, you know, our marriage looks like and how can we better ourselves. And truthfully, the answer is making sure that God is your number one priority in all things, that God will be the center of your guys' relationship. And the more that you guys grow closer to God is the more that you guys will grow together as a couple. And that is the honest truth. That is the only answer. Like Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. So how can we be truthful and loving? And that starts with your tone of voice. Okay, so let's get back to the topic about my Red Bull addiction. So if my wife were to come to me, and let's say that I have already had a Red Bull that morning, and I'm feeling pretty lucky, I'm feeling pretty good, and I say, you know what, babe, I'm gonna get a second Red Bull. And guys, this has happened. But not in the way that she has said. But imagine she said, oh, babe, you've already had one Red Bull. Why do you need a second Red Bull? If something were to happen to you, I'm not taking you to the ER. And I'm not going to be there for you when you do go into the ER and you do have these heart problems. Imagine she said that. Me personally, I wouldn't be very fond of that. I wouldn't take that very nicely. But if she said, hey, babe, you know, I noticed that you already had one Red Bull today. If you're feeling like you need the second one, I totally understand. But I would hate for anything to happen to you. And I recently saw these stories about these people getting heart problems or liver problems from drinking energy drinks. And I just wouldn't want that to happen to you. Do you see how the conversations are completely different by the tone of voice? You know, obviously I threw in some extra words there with the second answer, but you could definitely tell that my tone of voice changed. And I'm sure that your response and the way that you reacted would be different. So I started jiu-jitsu about a month ago, and the cool thing about jiu-jitsu is that it actually teaches you a lot about life. There's this thing in jiu-jitsu that's called a system. Now, for those of you guys who don't know, a system is basically how I react to somebody reacting to what I do. That's what a system is. So let's say that I throw a move or I'm trying to choke somebody out in jiu-jitsu, and they react a certain way, like whether they block that submission or whatever the case may be. Okay, how do I react then to them reacting? So that's what a system is. And this really applies to our marriage, because if I were to react a certain way to that conversation that me and my wife hypothetically had, I would have a reaction. Let's take that first hypothetical equation in, right? And I said, and she was yelling at me and getting all mad, I would have a reaction of being mad, and I would start getting angry, and I would start getting upset, right? I would be quick to anger, and that's a sin. I'm not supposed to be quick to anger. I'm not supposed to yell at my wife. I'm not supposed to talk in an unloving way to my wife. Now, like again, I said, right? Everybody falls short, but we have to strive to be more like Jesus every single day. We cannot sit back and just like expect God to revolutionize our life without any works, right? Like, you can't just sit back and cruise through and just be like, oh, God, take the wheel. You know, you're going to do everything for me. It's like, no. Like, he opens those doors for you, but you still have to take that walk. And you still have to walk through the door, right? It's a daily battle. Like, Jesus says to pick up your cross every single day because it's a daily battle. And the Bible says, you know, the word is supposed to be a lamp unto our feet. So I told my wife this the other day. I said, what good is it if it's a light compared to a high beam flashlight, right? A high beam flashlight, you're going to see everything in the future. You're going to see everything right in front of you, right? And you're going to be like, psh, this is easy. This walk, I know what's going to happen. But no, a lamp, because it's dim, a lamp covers only a specific part of that area that you're trying to light up. And that will be your feet. So your feet are supposed to walk. And your feet are supposed to guide you on where you're supposed to go. Right? There's not this high beam flashlight that's just broad, like shining over your whole path. That's not our walk. It says we walk by faith, not by sight. And if we were to see where we're going or what God is throwing our way, do you really believe that we would sit here and be like, oh, I want this? Because let me be honest, guys, the Christian walk is not easy. It is not for the friendly. It is not for the people who want to give up. And I'm going to be honest, guys, there has been many times where I have wanted to give up, but I keep pursuing and I keep believing and I keep going after him because I know that his word is the truth. And I know that he says the pain that we are feeling cannot compare to the joy that I will give you in heaven. That there is a treasure waiting in heaven for us. That our name is written up there. Our bed is made. You know, like, don't you want that? Don't you want a narrow walk that gives you eternal life? I just imagine, and it brings me to tears and joy every time, where you imagine walking up and you imagine getting into heaven and Jesus looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Imagine how beautiful that is. Now imagine this. He says, turn around, for I do not know you. Let that rest on your heart. Is that something that scares you? Is that something that freaks you out? It should, because it is a scary place. You don't want that for your life, right? You want to see the people that you love with you in heaven. Now, granted, I don't think that you're going to be able to have a kumbaya session up there in heaven with your family. But I do know that everybody up there has no feeling of anything sad, no sorrow, no pain, nothing. Everybody's up there and they're feeling peace, joy, love, contentment. there is no scripture in the Bible that tells you that Jesus gives you happiness, that following God gives you happiness, because it doesn't. But he does offer one thing, and that's peace. And he offers eternal salvation. The peace, as a worldly perspective, we choose happiness over every time because it's quick. But every time, happiness only gets you so far. And it leaves you with disappointment, resentment, regret. It leaves you with sadness and sorrow the days after. Because it's not forever. Happiness is a temporary thing. Now, if my wife were to tell me, I wake up in that morning, she goes, "Oh my gosh, babe, you look so sexy right now." I would be like, "Hey, like, that's what's up. You know, give me some sugar, mama." I'd be happy about that. But 2 hours later, am I still going to be happy about that? Am I still going to look at her and be happy and content with that? Probably not. 2 hours later, I'd probably have my mind on something else, and I'd probably wonder, when's the next time I'm going to get complimented? Now, guys, we don't get complimented a lot. And honestly, it sucks. It does. But let me tell you something. You are crafted in the image of God. And God in Genesis said, "Let me create man in the image of me." You have to be so freaking beautiful and handsome if you are crafted in the image of God. Which you are. Everybody is. Even if you don't believe it, even for the people who are a part of this world, let me tell you guys something. They are still crafted in the image of God, and they are still beautiful in their own ways, right? God still loves them. So for the people out there who live in this world, whatever you support, whatever you decide you want to do in your life, know that you are crafted in the image of God and that you are beautiful. And anybody who sits here and tells you that you're not beautiful, that you're not smart, whatever the case may be, that, you know, whatever, I don't know. But just know that God loves you. And us as Christians, we're supposed to love them as well. Right? We're supposed to love our enemies and everybody in between. Everybody. Now, I'm not sitting here and saying you have to be buddy-buddy with them. I'm not sitting here and saying that you have to text them every day and try to hang out with them all the time. I'm not saying you have to call them all the time. I'm not even saying that you have to have conversations with these people. I'm not. But what I do know is that you're supposed to love your neighbor. You're supposed to love your enemies and love everybody in between. No matter what your political views are, no matter what your religion is, no matter what you identify as. And guys, look, I know that the world is going on in a crazy time right now. I see it. I'm aware of it. But at the same time, us as Christians, we need to stop judging them, and we need to stop picking on them and telling them, you know, "Oh, you know, you need to repent from your sin or you're going to hell." Okay, guys, that is the wrong way of doing things. Now, that may be right, right? We do know that we do have free will. And yes, when the day comes, when he decides to come down, he will judge us and he will condemn us based on what he sees, right? He doesn't look at our outer appearance. appearance. Yeah, there we go. Sorry, guys. But he doesn't look at that outer portion. He looks at the inner portion and says, "Ah, oh, I know you, my son, my daughter. I have loved you," right? Or he looks at you and says, "I don't know you, but it's up to you to decide what you want to hear," right? We all have the free will. Okay. The third portion of talking about being truthful and honest in a loving way, we have to refer back to 1 Corinthians 13. Everything that states what love is, we have to excel at that. I have been, and I hate that I have to say this, but I have been at a season when I first started walking with Christ, and my wife would do something and I'd be like, "Whoa, wait, aren't you a Christian? Why are you doing that?" I would judge her based on what she did because I knew she was a Christian. Or I would get into church and I would see how somebody said something or the way that they acted outside of church. And I would be like, "Whoa, aren't you a Christian? Why are you doing things like that? Why are you saying things like that?" I have been a hypocrite of it. And I have looked at these people and I have judged them from the outside. And I'm telling you guys right now, God will not do that. God will not judge you based on your looks. God is not going to judge you on how many muscles you got. If you know you're anorexic, if you have 1,000 degrees, if you have millions of dollars, right? God's not going to judge you on that. There is a parable, or not a parable, but Jesus was talking to a man in the New Testament, and the man asked him, "Well, Jesus, how can I get into heaven?" And you guys remember what he told that man? He said, "Sell all your possessions." Now, this is important because the man loved his possessions. He had money. He had everything that he wanted. And the man struggled with it. We read that in the Bible. The man struggled with it. He was like, "Oh, no." He walked away ashamed because he was like, "I don't know if I can give off all my possessions." But Jesus knew that that was what it was in his heart. He knew that his possessions were everything to him. You look at some of these billionaires and millionaires, and yes, you can tell that they have money. But some of them you can't tell. Some of them, they look like normal human beings, just like us. And they are normal human beings. You know? Some of them, they still shop at Vans or, I don't know, like Payless sneakers or Skechers or something. I mean, I don't know, honestly. Right? Some of them still shop at normal malls and all that. But you can't tell that they're millionaires, that they have money. And Jesus is not going to, he's going to know, right? He knows everything. But he's not going to look at your $1 million and say, "Whoo, buddy, you got a free ride into heaven." He doesn't. So how can we be more like Jesus every day? How can we be more honest in a nice and kind way? And that starts with prayer. That starts with our tone of voice. That starts with a clear mindset and go into this conversation. I struggle with this, and I'm going to be honest, guys. Do not come into that conversation being like, "Oh, she always does this. She always does this," or "He always does this. He always reacts in this way, and he always gets upset," or "She always shuts down and walks away," or "He always shuts down and walks away." Don't go into the mindset with that, into that conversation with that mindset. You got to come into that conversation with a mindset of like, today's going to be a new day where we're going to see change. And guys, I'm going to be honest. start with prayer on your own if you're coming into a conversation, right? And then go into prayer with your spouse. Go into prayer with your spouse and just pray your heart out. Leave everything on the altar for God, and He's going to provide. He will take care of it. He will look at what you guys are dealing with, and He will place His hand on you guys. And He said, "My children, I'm so glad that you have opened up your homes for me. I'm so glad that you opened up your heart for me." So that's what I want to leave you guys with tonight. There we go. See, I'm getting the hang of it. But that's what I want to leave you guys with tonight. I hope you guys enjoy. Please leave any comments or anything like that. Leave a like, anything of that nature. Maybe follow us for more. But my plan is to post something once, maybe twice a week. Obviously, I told you guys a little bit about me, so you guys will know that my life is going to get pretty busy soon. But I'm going to try my best. And thank you guys for taking the time to listen. Just remember, God loves you. I love you guys. And have a good night.